2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is my co-host, Dylan White, the master of the Robo Scout. We're going to be jumping in today. We're talking trade deadline, but not the MLB trade deadline. Maybe a little bit in the opening, but we're talking your trade deadline. That's you out there listening. We're going to help you out, give you some names to target based on the robot. And who's smarter than the robot, man? You know, I get tips from scouts, and then I go and I check out the Robo Scout, and I'm like, oh, Ronnie Rodriguez is ranked one in the DSL. The robot knows. Trust the bot. He knows some things. And I would say it is the most comprehensive fantasy tool that's out there in terms of systems, just because of the amount of information and data that others don't have. You're able to pour into it. It's my shameless plug at the beginning of our show, but it's our show. I can make shameless plugs if I want to. But Dylan, how are you, man? How's it going?
Not bad at all. Recovering from my body rash. Finally got some sleep last night for the first time in maybe 2 weeks after my poison oak fiasco. So slowly recovering. Still very tired, but you know, at least now I can kind of think. So not too bad. But you're not feeling too hot. I don't know if is that a HIPAA violation by saying you're not feeling well right now?
Yeah, no, I'm not feeling great right now. It's not, you know, the end of the world or anything like that. But yeah, little congested. Got something going on here. You know, it's been rainy, been all over the map. I had a busy week last week, was back and forth from the Cape. Games kept getting rained out. I've driven to multiple games that played two innings or none at all over the last week, which is just a great feeling. The summer of Jeff taking L's has continued, you know. Cut video. I'm now on a PC. I'm trying to figure out how to cut video on a PC. It's not like iMovie. It's not easy like that, so. You know, it's I go to see Luis Perales, he blows out. You know, go to see Dylan Cruz, he doesn't play for multiple days. It's just been that kind of year for me, Dylan. So, you know, congested, but we'll get back out there. We'll keep crushing it. We'll keep seeing players. Keep covering baseball. But busy week, man. We've been updating again. We updated the top 30s. Those came out on Friday prior to the trade deadline. And we've been writing up every trade feverishly over the last couple of days. So stay tuned for that. Dylan, let me put you on the spot here. You know, in terms of your favorite trades so far in the deadline, we're recording this on Monday night. What have been your favorite deals so far? Jays have made a couple of trades. One of them, we can't fully report the Kikuchi trade. We got some more pieces. A couple hitters is what I hear, joining Jake Bloss. One who's in the top 10 of the system. By the time this releases, we probably can't talk about it. So it's Joey LoProfito and Will Wagner. I'll cut this if I can. It falls through, but I think that's a pretty good get. I don't know if there's other deals that you're excited about. Me personally, I really like the return that the Rays got for Randy Arozarena. I'm a big Brody Hopkins fan. Say that three times fast. That's a tongue twister right there. Aiden Smith is a guy we've both been on. The more you dig into the data there, you know, there's some swing and miss in the zone, but the plate skills aren't bad. He's a, you know, speedster, 60, 70 runner, whatever grade you want to put him up there. He's easy plus, maybe double plus. Can play center field. He's a good defender out there. And he's got some power. He knows how to elevate. I think some of the best batted ball angles among prospects that we'll say are in the lower minors. I think it was like a 60% plus fly ball plus line drive rate. So he knows how to elevate hard contact. That was my favorite trade. I don't know what yours was.
They've been pretty good trades. The three-way trade today was interesting. Dodgers, White Sox, Cardinals. So White Sox giving up Michael Kopech and Tommy Pham. Dodgers getting Kopech and Cardinals getting Fetty. I'm forgetting someone else. Oh, they got Edman as well. The Dodgers got Edman. And then the White Sox got, you know, some pretty interesting prospects, but maybe not sufficient. They got Haral Perez, Alexander Albertus, who we like, and was there a third one? Can't remember who it was.
But, yeah, I'm forgetting. No, it's off my head.
Those are kind of the two headliners. It's interesting that they didn't really get much back for some, you know, plausible players. I also liked Lane Thomas to the Guardians. And they got Alex Clemmy, Rafael Ramirez, and Jose Tena. Those three prospects are pretty interesting. Lane Thomas, he has got 2.5 years of control, but like he's not that great if you buy into WAR. Like he's not really projected to do much better than like 3 WAR over that time, if you believe Zips, for example. So, you know, Alex Clemmy, huge ceiling. He was sort of a popular sleeper, hasn't really actualized it this year. Rafael Ramirez was rated highly last year by RoboScout, good contact skills. He was turning scouts' heads in Josh's email about our email article about who's making
he says the best emails.
And then Jose Tena, who has been very hot this year recently in the upper levels, hitting a bunch of home runs for the Guardians. So it's a pretty good get for the Nationals. So I like that. I'm excited there's so many trades like the day before the trade deadline or the days before. Like it's quite I didn't expect it to be this loud actually, because a lot of teams are kind of in it and not that many teams are out of it. So there weren't that many like obvious trade like sellers compared to recent years. So I thought, you know, maybe just be quiet. You know, you'd have like the Kikuchi because he's on an expiring contract, or Tanner Scott, that type of thing, and not much else. But it's been pretty wild. And the relievers have been getting, I guess I'll still talk. The relievers are getting good returns too. Like Jason Adam return was pretty good. And so like I'm curious to see what Tanner Scott gets, because I think he's sort of the class of the relievers that are on the market, if you don't count Mason Miller as a potential trade target after he broke his pinky in his non-throwing hand. But it's very exciting. It's very interesting. It's very fun. A lot of fantasy fallout, of course, which I'm sure we'll talk about in future episodes. But really exciting so far.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the Mason Miller injury. It was very unusual. It's the pinky on his non-throwing hand, his glove hand. And he apparently injured it after a win, banging a massage table, which I thought were cushioned, first off. I don't know. Everything about that story kind of reeks to me. Not to throw anything out there conspiracy theory-wise, but hey, I'm putting on my tinfoil hat and I'm going to throw a conspiracy out. I was in the scouting section on the Cape when that injury broke, and I had a couple of cross-checkers next to me, decision-makers that, you know, were kind of a little skeptical about that. And we're like, hey, if you wanted to shut a guy down prior to the trade deadline to make sure that he didn't get injured, you'd do it now. And it would be, you know, the pinky on his non-throwing hand. Because like, how many times is Mason Miller even going to have to stab at a ball? Like in a one inning stint, right? Like if he's in a playoff team, I can't imagine he necessarily hits the IL. So, you know,
well, it was even weirder because Martin Gallegos broke it, beat writer for The Athletics, that basically what you said, he smashed it in like in a fit of anger after a win. And then he sent out a retraction saying that, oh, it actually wasn't, that was reported wrong. It didn't happen that way. And then it turned out that it was like Mason Miller's agent said that, oh, it didn't happen that way. And Mark Kotze, the manager of The Athletics, explained that it was the agent and it actually did happen the original way. So he's calling out the agent and saying like, you know, we're going to be accountable and honest, and this is actually what happened. He did smash his hand in a fit of anger or whatever it was. So I don't even know, like it's even weirder that he's like admitting that this guy was like being a knucklehead and smashed his hand before a trade deadline where he's one of the most coveted potential targets in a trade. So I don't even know what's happening. It could be like the whole spectrum, like you're saying, and some other conspiracy with like the agent trying to like protect the value of his player, and then the manager saying that's like not true. So like, who knows what's happening? It's very confusing.
Yeah, I think it's an unusual one. I don't know where they're going with that, but we'll see. It would be really interesting because I think the return for Mason Miller could be significant. Obviously, you have 5 years of control left after this year. And he's pre-arb. So it's really cheap and getting a relief ace that is that cost controlled is a pretty big deal. And he's even the kind of player that I think potentially, if you know, he goes to a bigger market that has some money to spend, he could be a guy that gets extended, right? And you know, maybe get signed for an 8-year deal or something like that at a fairly nice cost controlled dollar. We'll see what happens. I think that he is one of the bigger fish out there. Let's sort of move on, I guess, here in terms of players that you think that could be moved. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I don't think that we're going to see Vlad Guerrero Jr. or Bo Bichette move. I think it's going to continue to be peripheral pieces. I think the next big shoe to drop in Toronto, as they are one of the big sellers, probably Chris Bassett. I would imagine that Bassett's return could be pretty sizable based on what we saw with Kikuchi. It's going to be a few, you know, decent prospects. That might be a deal that does bring in a top 100 prospect, kind of similar to Mason Miller. Any other names that have been floating out there that you're interested to see get moved?
I want to know what happens with Garrett Crochet. I expect that'll be pretty big, though there were some odd news about how he won't throw in October unless he signs an extension. It's like in his contract or something like that. Scooble is going to be a huge piece if he moves, but I'm hearing he may not move. Just some of those rumors. Jack Flaherty was supposed to pitch today on Monday. He got scratched because it seems like he may be going to the Yankees. And then if he goes to the Yankees, they're saying, I think it was Bob Nightingale, but maybe it wasn't, saying that means Nestor Cortez is going to be traded from the Yankees as part of that, them signing or getting Flaherty. So I want to see, like, obviously I like the big trades. I want to see like Blake Snell. I want to see Garrett Crochet. I want to see big trades for big returns happen. In terms of the Jays, yeah, the Bassett thing could be interesting. I know, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who's injured right now and is actually signed for a few years, has been a target, though I know the Jays really like what he's done this year. Chad Green, who they also have signed for next year as well. Who was, I guess, like the only guy left in the Jays bullpen. He seems to be a target of some teams. I heard the Yankees are interested as well. So I don't know who would close in terms of fantasy follow-up for the Jays. Who would be their close? Like Zach Pop got a save yesterday. And then, I don't know, like Trevor Richards maybe. All in all, just super exciting, super interesting trade deadline so far. And it's not even the day of the trade deadline when, of course, you know, the most moves happen to be made.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's pretty interesting. Dylan, why don't we take a quick break here? We'll get a word from our sponsors, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about RoboScout names to target for your trade deadline. Enough about those people's trade deadline. We're talking about yours.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform of over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging. You can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I think we're going to have an opening coming open. When it comes open, I'm going to use Indeed. Why? Because Indeed makes my job easy. When I'm hiring, it puts it all in one place. It organizes, it does the thinking for me to where I can just connect with quality candidates and do the process that we need to do to hire. That's what Indeed does. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The heat of summer is here. Whether you're going for a long run or just sitting by the pool, your favorite summer treat could be giving you extraordinary hydration. Liquid IV has refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet that hit the spot when you need transformative, hydrating relief all summer long. Indulge in hydration with electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients from the number one powdered hydration brand in America, Liquid IV. Did you know that blue and pink cotton candy are different flavors? I didn't until I started enjoying both of them through Liquid IV. Personally, I'm partial to the blue cotton candy. I make sure I pour some in my water bottle with some ice before I head out on a bike ride. It not only hydrates, but it's a more enjoyable way to stay hydrated. Blue cotton candy. That's my recommendation. But I've yet to find a Liquid IV flavor I don't like. Cool off your summer with the reimagined flavors of treats like Rainbow Sherbet and Popsicle Firecracker. Or make your own Liquid IV popsicles. Indulgent flavors keep your wellness rituals fresh and keep you motivated and hydrated. Find all your favorite flavors on the website. There's acai berry, lemon lime, pina colada. You can even choose from their line of sugar-free flavors like raspberry melon, white peach, and green grape. The white peach, that's pretty good too. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's powdered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. Three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, eight essential vitamins and nutrients. Always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code BA2022 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code BA2022 at liquidiv.com.
All right, and we are back. Dylan, we got some names you sent over to me here. Obviously, we got a lot of data now inside of the Robo Scout. This is a great time of year because I think all of the suggestions and rankings are really robust in terms of the amount of information that's been coming in. You do a great job of kind of breaking into segments too, just in terms of like a few weeks at a time and, you know, who's performing, who's on the up and up, and who's on the downswing. You suggested a couple of names here. The first one is a guy that I moved up pretty significantly over the last couple of updates. He moved up again in the last update for the Red Sox, and that's a very good system. That is infielder Franklin Arias. Talk to me about why Arias is a trade target for you.
So Franklin Arias has always kind of hovered in the top list for the complex all season. And a lot of it was because of the underlying data. The underlying data was quite solid. He's 18 years old. He's had sort of red across sort of the key Statcast metrics that I look at, the contact, the chase, the barrel rate, even the 90th percentile, exit velocity. He was always kind of above average, but he hadn't really shown the results yet. And then since June happened, he just has been on an absolute tear. He has like a 229 WRC plus since June 3rd in 129 plate appearances. So pretty robust sample size. Which is like one of the top five or something like that at the level. Six home runs, 22 stolen bases. If you just take that and kind of apply the peak projection curves, that's like a 30-30 guy with a 120 WRC plus, like 20 points ahead of like the next highest person. So he's been absolutely on fire. He went to low A and he's hit two home runs already in his first 20 plate appearances. Like, he just looks outstanding. He does chase, he doesn't have the highest 90th percentile exit velocity, and his, you know, ex-wOBA on contact isn't the greatest, but it's still above average. And considering he's 18, it's still quite solid. He plays shortstop, and we had some defensive metrics for the minors, and he was, you know, plus there in terms of run prevention. So he plays up the middle, plays good defense. He has solid bat to ball. He doesn't chase, makes great swing decisions. He's starting to get into his power. It's just arrow up. And so the reason I have him on here is, like, of course, all of that is great, but I don't think like the industry lists have caught up yet. I know he's hot right now and there are people talking about him, but I don't know if people have kind of like acted and like kind of put him into their top 100s or whatever. And I think he's looking like a top 50 fantasy prospect already. So I think now is the time to kind of trade for him before, you know, you talk to some of your league mates and they look at the lists of the, you know, the industry outlets that they follow and they see, oh yeah, he's like, you know, a top 200, top 300. Oh, he's a bit hot right now. Yeah, sure. I'll trade him for, I don't know, Gordon Graceffo or something like that. And then, you know, you've made a killing there. So that's why I have him here as someone to target, because I think the industry has not caught up to what Franklin Arias is showing right now.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, like, you know, once he got promoted off of the complex too, it's not like the production has slowed down at all. You know, he's in low A. Granted, it's only been five games, but, you know, he's five for his first 17. He's got a couple of homers, a double, you know, three walks to four strikeouts, stolen base. It's a 218 WRC plus, but it's five games. So we don't really need to throw out that number or slash line or anything. There's enough at bats there to kind of have a concept of like how well he's hitting. The contact skills are good. You know, there's more power than I think like a lot of people would expect within that profile. And as you said, I don't know if he's a shortstop long term. Certainly somebody's going to stay in the middle of the infield, whether it's second base or shortstop, and maybe plays a little bit of both. But he's a really interesting prospect, and somebody that I thought if the Red Sox wanted to go out and get, you know, a Garrett Crochet or somebody like that, he could be a nice second or third piece, you know, with one of those guys at the top of the system, because they are an incredibly talented organization right now, really from top to bottom, because the major league team has been pretty good. That being said, that's enough, I think, on Franklin Arias. Let's move on to your next name here that you had sent to me before the show, and someone I know a little bit less about, and that's Eduardo Beltre. Talk to me about Eduardo Beltre.
So Eduardo Beltre is an outfielder in the Twins organization. He's in the DSL right now, so he's far away. He signed for over $1 million. So he, you know, he has some pedigree there. And the reason I have him here is the same thing as I was saying with Arias. It's sort of like in Dynasty, the way you make your the way you're successful is you know, you buy low, you sell high, you get in there before the, on the ground floor before everything else catches up. So I think now is the time that you can get Eduardo Beltre for essentially free. He's available in a couple leagues of mine. I have him in the other ones. Like while everyone's talking about like Emil Morales of the Dodgers, who, you know, 8 home runs, 8 stolen bases, he's near the top of RoboScout. He's a favorite of many outlets as well. Jesus Madé of the Brewers has been getting a lot of buzz, and he deserves it. Nice projectable shortstop who's showing power and speed. Luis Peña is another one that's a popular name. 34 stolen bases for the same Brewers club that Jesus Madé is on. He's doing well, but this Beltre is doing extremely well, especially under the hood. His ex-Wobicon is like in the 500s. It's by far the best in the DSL.
It's 554. It's 554, Dylan.
Yeah. And the average is 282. Like for context, like Emil Morales, who has 8 home runs. And, you know, in all, you know, common outlets are saying, you know, he has a huge power. He has a 433 ex-Wobicon. So this is like 120 points higher. Reiniel Rodriguez, who you mentioned at the top of the Cardinals, catcher who is in the DSL All-Star game, who leads the DSL in home runs with 9. His ex-Wobicon is like 440 as well. So like Eduardo Beltre is like by far got the highest ex-Wobicon. And so the ex-Wobicon also is like it's barrel rates in there because launch angles in there and exit velocity. So, you know, we love talking about 90th percentile exit velocity, but you kind of have to tie that in with ground ball rate, because if you're hitting it hard, but on the ground, you know, it's not as great as, you know, obviously we talk about the ideal launch angles and all that. So ex-Wobicon is kind of a catch all. And it is in my earlier analysis that I did this year when I took the first 2 months of the season and then looked at how they did in the next 2 months, ex-Wobicon was actually more predictive than barrel rate of future WOBA. So that's why I've been citing it more and more in my articles. So anyway, Eduardo Beltre, far and away, the leader in ex-Wobicon. His barrel rate's like 28%. He has a hard hit rate of 60%, which I think is the second highest in the DSL. And like I said, his because his ex-Wobicon is so high, obviously he's not hitting on the ground that much. And he has a 36% ground ball rate. So he's hitting it hard. His hard hit rate is still high. He's not hitting it on the ground. He is pretty athletic. He plays center field right now, probably going to move to a corner. He has plus speed, which hasn't really actualized yet. He only has 3 stolen bases, but just the power is just ridiculous right now. And no one's really talking about it. You know, I hate saying that. No one's talking about this guy in the minors right now, because obviously people are talking about him. But he's overshadowed by Emil Morales, Jesus Mate, Luis Peña, all those guys that I've talked about in the DSL. So I think of that crew, Eduardo Beltre, you can get probably the cheapest, well, almost definitely the cheapest, and maybe even free on the wire right now. So that's why I have him as a target.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's one of those names where I go and I check my 30 team league. If any of those guys are listening, don't get in my way here. You look at the numbers. I mean, a 104.5 90th percentile at 17 years old is absurd. That's like an 80 grade 90th percentile for a 17 year old. You don't see that. He's already hit multiple balls over 108 miles per hour this year. And the end zone miss rate, 17.4%. Chase rate, 18.4%. There's good plate skills here, right? This is a guy with power, good plate skills, and that ex-Wilbekon number is so high because he's got really good batted ball angles. He's getting the most out of his hard contact, and when he puts the ball in play, there's a better than 500 chance it's probably going to go for a hit. So, you know, I think you see a guy like that at 17, and you got to jump on it, you know? In some ways, I mean, we'll find out what kind of defender and athlete he is. But just in terms of the plate skills and the underlying data, you know, this could almost be like, you know, the next Emmanuel Rodriguez type of situation, you know, guy with good plate skills, guy with power, maybe good plate skills in terms of swing decisions. This guy has contact that we never got from Emmanuel Rodriguez at that age and level. So really interesting one, you know, certainly things change quickly once they come stateside, but for his power numbers to be that high, to me, that makes him one of the really, really exciting names. And I think a great suggestion on your part. So, Dylan, let's move on to the next one here on your list. By the way, that Jays trade is finally final with the Astros. So don't have to do any editing there. This is a name everybody knows. Leo DeVries. I know you've been sort of riding this this heat wave of late. You kind of talked about it a little bit this week in Robo Scout. So talk to me about why DeVries is a target for you and what sort of level of player you think you probably have to trade to get DeVries at this point.
Yeah. So DeVries, you know, very popular sleeper before the season. We were getting huge feedback on him before. And he started off slowly and he kind of wasn't really doing what we kind of thought he would be doing. And like Ethan Salas also started off slowly. And so it's kind of like, oh, you know, maybe we've been a bit too eager on these youngsters on the Padres. But he has just been on a tear right now. So it's again, one of those things of like, before the rest of the industry catches up, before your league mates catch up, now's the time to grab him. And I think before the season, he was extremely expensive. Then he kind of sagged a bit. People were like kind of a bit leery. And then now, he's back to kind of where he was, but I don't think the perception has caught up. So in the last 183 plate appearances as a 17-year-old in low A, he has 9 home runs and 9 stolen bases. So 9 home runs, 9 stolen bases in fewer than 200 plate appearances, obviously is like a 30-30 pace. And he's 17 years old, as I said. So if you look at since 2006, all the players 17 or 18 who have had a WRC plus of 117, which is what he has on the season. And that's with that slow start. Like since June, he's at a 140 WRC plus. So when you take his full season of 117 and you look back historically, Rafael Devers was 118 and he was 18 years old, not 17 like Leo DeVries. Josue de Paula, 118 WRC plus. Ozzie Albies, 122. Xander Bogaerts, 122. And they were all 18 years old. Leo DeVries is 17 years old. He's younger. I just want to highlight the fact he's only 17 years old, Jeff. So last year, Ethan Salas had a 122 WRC plus, which is basically the only one higher than what DeVries is showing right now. Jose Tabata of the Yankees in 2006 had a 127. Obviously, he didn't become a huge star or anything, but he had a major league career of 1,800 plate appearances. I looked it up today, and he had a 101 WRC plus. So he was a league average hitter. So basically, what I'm trying to say is DeVries is showing all the things that we would have expected or would have wanted from an all-star, a superstar. And I don't think people have caught on to that right now. So I said in my RoboScout article that I think he's a top 10 fantasy prospect right now. My peak projections have him like a 30 home run bat, above average WRC plus. Everything's kind of there. The stat cast is a bit not quite in the stratosphere yet, but he is average contact. He's average chase. He's got, you know, above average ex-woba con, that's like above 400. So he's hitting it hard at good angles. Like he's kind of optimizing what he's doing with the thing, but he's only 17. So because he's already making good swing decisions and has good bat to ball skills already, he doesn't hit it on the ground like Felman Celestin. I think the sky's the limit for this guy. So I would, like I said, I consider him a top 10 fantasy prospect, and I don't think people have caught up to that yet. I'm in the Chris Welsh Prospect 1 ADP mocks. I think you're in it as well. And I was picking 10th, so I ended up getting Kobe Mayo, and then coming back around, I think pick 15, I was going to take him. But then I said, you know what, I'm going to see if I can get him back on the way back. And so I took Charlie Condon. But he got taken at basically the back end of the second round, so kind of like pick 20. So, you know, he's still in the top, like maybe people, this guy's Red Roboscout, and, you know, he's trying to pick him up early. But I don't think people have caught up and have him in the top 25 yet. So all that to say, who do you think you have to trade? I think you got to trade what is equivalent for a top 10 fantasy prospect. What people would trade for Jason Dominguez, what people would trade for Emmanuel Rodriguez, what people would trade for, you know, Kobe Mayo, Cal Manzardo before the season, like probably quite a lot. That's what you should pay, but I don't think you have to pay that right now because I think he's still undervalued for at least a couple weeks. So, you know, act quickly is basically my point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the good points that you made here, you know, is just how exceptional he's performed, you know, since he sort of settled in. The underlying data is really good. We just talked about Eduardo Beltre. It's the same signing class as DeVries. This guy's two levels above Beltre. You know, it's a guy that's in full season ball and he's doing his thing. 90th percentile, 102.2, still pretty good. He's hit a couple of balls above 105 at this point, you know, ball at 107. But when you consider how young he is versus the competition he's playing against, chase rate of 25% is fairly low. That's good to see. Zone miss rate is under 20%. That's really good to see. Then, as you mentioned, the ex-Wobacon, 422. That's a really, really good number. That's the kind of stuff that we want to see from a guy like DeVries. I don't disagree with you. I think this is a guy that should be higher on top 100 list as well. There's probably, you know, we're in these P1 ADP mocks right now. I picked three. I took Jackson Holiday. I didn't feel great about it. I actually wanted to take Travis Bezzano, but I said, you know, maybe there's a chance Bezzano comes back to me in the second round. We'll see how that flips. This is a guy that if Bezzano is gone and DeVries is there, I'm taking DeVries. And then on the swing back, I'm taking Sebastian Walcott. So, you know, I like my tooled up guys. Two guys right there. I think Walcott and DeVries are a really good example of not to panic over the first couple of months when really talented tooled up players are over-assigned. You know, they're treading water. They're trying to learn their craft. They've been challenged with a really, really difficult assignment. And both of these guys have found their sea legs. And I think if you're an owner or a manager that has these guys rostered in your dynasty league, you're feeling pretty good about holding on to them and you know, sort of, you know, protecting the ship there and holding on to them because both of them long-term look like they could be major dudes, like superstars, players that, you know, could be impact regulars within a couple of years, really, really young. And these are ascending fantasy assets. And I think that's the big lesson here with DeVries is you want to go after a guy like this because the value is not going to really taper off. There's a chance it just keeps skyrocketing up. Everybody starts to catch up. And then universally, this guy is ranked within the top 10. I bet us even saying this on this podcast probably influences some ranks to jump up a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And we gave you all the down and dirty details of the underlying data that isn't necessarily public, but it's super valuable when evaluating these guys against, you know, other levels of competition, you know, similar colleagues of the similar age and level, et cetera. So some really good names. Dylan, let's move on to the next one. This one's a little bit older. Somebody I think has been around the block, been a top 100 prospect before, kind of tapered off. somebody that struggled at the beginning of the year in AAA, which is not always necessarily easy with those strike zones. Will Warren, he's been on a burner lately. You're targeting Will Warren. Why?
Another exactly what you said. He was a top 100 prospect. He's at AAA, and he started off extremely poorly. He was a popular name in a redraft as someone, you know, who'll come up in the year and pitch. But he just started, like, his ERA was like 12 or something like that in the first month. So he's had a long road to come back, but he has been on fire. In his last nine starts, his whip is like 1.19. He has an xFIP of 3.04. He has a 31% strikeout rate and a 6% walk rate, which would be his, you know, best seasons. If, you know, his last nine starts were what he did for the level on the whole, that would be better than any of his previous years where he was a top 100 prospect. So I think because his full season stats don't look good, 1.4 whip, 6.11 ERA, that the person who has Will Warren on their team is probably soured on him. And because he hasn't also gotten much buzz, you're not hearing much about the Yankees are going to call up Will Warren to pitch. So he's kind of being forgotten, I believe. And I think that if the Yankees don't get, you know, a major starting pitcher in this trade deadline, I think he can come up. At the very least, he'll be pitching next year, I believe, in the rotation. And so, again, it's the same thing of, like, take advantage of sort of a sag in perceived value and get this pitcher who can put up projections that I have him, like, kind of akin to Justin Steele. So I kind of looked at what his peak projection looked like, Will Warren, and I kind of compared to what Steamer is saying. And it's sort of like a 1.22 whip with a 3.87 ERA, and that kind of matches with Justin Steele in terms of strikeout rate as well. So if you can get Justin Steele for a fraction of the price, because the owner, Will Warren, is thinking he's got to get rid of this, you know, distressed asset on his hands, take advantage. So I think he's a good target right now where he's undervalued and probably doesn't deserve to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's an interesting one and somebody that, depending upon how this trade deadline goes, could be a guy that's, you know, potentially moved in a deal in the next couple of days. I think that Flaherty deal is about to drop, so I don't know what the returns are or where, even where he's going. So I just saw somebody text me about that. I'm going to go to Twitter right now and check it out. That being said, let's go on to the next guy here, Logan Henderson, another name that I think is really interesting. What do you like about Henderson and why are you targeting him in your trade deadlines?
Same song and dance. Logan Henderson. So if you believe in RoboScout, Logan Henderson is one of the top names in AA. He's only thrown 34 innings, but he has a 34% strikeout rate and only like a 4% walk rate. That strikeout minus walk rate, which is historically sort of the best predictor of, you know, future performance, is one of the top. I think it's the fourth highest as a starting pitcher in AA since Logan Henderson came back from an injury. His stuff has ticked up a bit. He's a changeup forward pitcher. He's basically fastball changeup with the occasional slider. Usually that's kind of a caution flag, especially in the lower levels, because in lower level hitters aren't, you know, that used to changeups. And so, you know, someone like Chris Paddock can just like carve and have incredible numbers in the lower levels. But when you get up to the upper levels, more advanced hitters, you know, are used to changeups, and you need kind of more pitches. But he's in AA, and he's excelling right now. So this is one where he's in the same cluster as in AA as Zebby Matthews, Noah Schultz, Bubba Chandler, Braxton Ashcraft, Thomas Harrington, Tink Hants, Jackson Jobe. Like, these are the top seven names per RoboScout in AA. And Logan Henderson is in the middle of that crew. So obviously those names I just listed, Zebby Matthews, Noah Schultz, Bubba Chandler, they're all very highly regarded, and rightly so, pitchers in AA. And Logan Henderson is kind of the outlier of the group. So again, if you believe RoboScout, if you believe the surface stats, if you believe what the projections therefore would say, and his stuff is above average. His stuff plus is above 100. So it's not like he's surviving on smoke and mirrors. It's not like a Bryce Elder kind of situation where he's getting good results, but his stuff doesn't compute. Why? When you look at his stuff, Logan Henderson's stuff's okay. It's not as good as those guys, Bubba Chandler, Noah Schultz, all those guys, but it's not bad. So if you believe in RoboScout, and I'm sure you can get Logan Henderson extremely cheap, and I'm talking about get him like as a throw-in into a trade, like you may get a serviceable pitcher who can put up sub four ERA, pretty good whip because he has got great command. The Brewers are a good pitching development organization. A lot of the elements are there. All the check marks are there. Check boxes are ticked. So I think you can get Logan Henderson, probably the cheapest of all these names I've mentioned. And you know, he may surprise you. He may be a back of the rotation starter that's serviceable. So Logan Henderson is my fifth pick.
I like that one a lot. I think it's an interesting name and not one that I necessarily anticipated that you were going to send my way. So there you go, Dylan. You surprised me. Last name we're going to throw out here. This is a guy that I saw my first spring training on the backfields with BA. And I can remember the scouts were raving about him. And I had heard internally that, you know, some in the organization, in the Marlins organization, weren't huge on Javier Sanoja. But just a great all-around player, you know, a guy that I think is kind of similar to like one of these hit tool guys, whether it's like Jacob Wilson or someone like that, can play a bunch of different positions. I don't know if he's got as much upside. He's certainly not as big as Jacob Wilson is, but a guy that hasn't made his debut yet, right?
Correct.
And I think could be an interesting player that we see at the big league level very shortly. So talk to me a little bit why you like Sanoja and what you're targeting for him.
Yeah, the big thing is the contact rate. He's got a 91%. Jacob Wilson, who you just mentioned, is 93%. So he's a hit tool guy. He's only 21. That's the big thing. He's only 21 in AAA. So he's one of the, like the 15 youngest players in AAA, and he has like a 5.5% strikeout rate. So you can't strike this guy out. He is extremely young. His max exit velocity is 110. So he has some pop. Like his 90th percentile is below 100 miles an hour. It's 99.7 miles an hour. But, you know, that's basically half a mile per hour slower than Jacob Wilson. Brooks Lee and Drew Gilbert. And the same as Jacob Wilson. So it's not horrible. He's only 21, like I said. He's playing second base, shortstop, and center field basically equally. His defensive metrics are pretty good considering he's playing up the middle. And I don't know if you know, but the Marlins just traded their center fielder, Jazz Chisholm, to the Yankees. They also traded their second baseman earlier this season, Luis Arraez, and they're playing Xavier Edwards, who's kind of in the same mold as Javier Sanoja, doing really well in AAA last year of RoboScout, you know, top 10. And now he's kind of performing right now, hit for the cycle yesterday, Xavier Edwards did. So I think Javier Sanoja can be a regular. He could be on the Xavier Edwards track next year. It may not be with the Marlins, but, you know, I had Xavier Edwards last year. I dropped him, and I'm kind of regretting it because I didn't stick with my guns. I didn't stick with what RoboScout was saying. So I don't want to make that same mistake right now. So Javier Sanoja, he's not on any lists. I have him in my two dynasty leagues because I'm refusing to let go of him because RoboScout has him near the top. Just excellent contact, reasonable power. I have him like a 280 batting average. Obviously, that's great. I think he can get to 10 to 15 home runs. He has some speed too. I can see 10 stolen bases. So kind of like the Vaughn Grissom, what we thought Vaughn Grissom might be. I'm kind of a Jacob Wilson, maybe not as physical. Xavier Edwards right now, just good power, or sorry, good batting average, good contact, very young. So he'll be playing for a while and good defense. So his floor is high. So Javier Sanoja, basically you can get him for nothing and he could be a reasonably productive fantasy option for you next year.
Yeah. And he could play a few different positions, you know, playing some center field this year as well. 6% strikeout rate to a 10% walk rate. You know, the EVs are not that exciting, but he's not that kind of player. I mean, it's a 6.3% zone miss percentage, 9% miss percentage overall. He don't miss. Really interesting one, Dylan. I like that a lot. Those are the names. I hope we helped you out, gave you some nice pieces to maybe add to trades, ask for in trades, players to target. that you can get at a pretty good price that could be big returns for you. This has been another edition of the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. I hope you're all having a great week and good luck in your trading.
Cheers.